Okay, Rabbi, so today's daf is daf chof. We're holding the last two lines of Yud Tes Amid Beis. And our Gemara is talking about the inyan of Basar Shinis Alim Min Ho Ayim. And the Gemara tells us two lines from the bottom that Rav Nochas Letamon. Rav came to Bavel, Chamtun, and he saw Mekilin, that people were Mekil in the inyan of Basar Shinis Alim Min Ho Ayim, the Chomar Alein. And as a result, he was Machmir, and he brought in Chumris, that people should be much more strict. And the Gemara tells us a real life case. Chad Barnash, there was an individual that Ozel Boi Mishizga Askufise Begoinahara. He decided to go and clean out the basar of an animal in the water, in the river. Today it sounds a little strange. Why would you go and rinse out pieces of meat in the river? But of course they didn't have running water in all of their kitchens like we have today. So if you wanted to go and rinse the meat, you took it down to the river, and the inchisa, and he forgot a piece of the meat somewhere in the river, the ozole, and he left. Afterwards he gets home, he realized, I forgot a shoulder steak, I forgot a lamb chop, I forgot a roast. Boy, misvina. So therefore he wanted to go back to the river and retrieve it. Amalei Rav. Rav said to him, I'm very sorry. Asalucha. You cannot take back the piece of meat from the river now. Because Dano Omar. Because I say, he shot of Nahar. The one that you left there an hour ago or whatever. It may have already been taken away by the river, by the current. And what you may find now is a replacement of another piece of meat, which happens to be a nevela. Of course, there's a good chance that it's your piece of meat, but there's at least a chance that it was somebody else's, and that's the Basar Shinis Alim Min Ha'ayin, and that's why Rav had to be Machmir, because people there were being Mekel. And the Gemara gives us a second real life case. Chad Barnash, there was an individual, Hav Mahalach Meshulki, was walking down the street, To'en Kupit, and he was holding on to a piece of meat, he was carrying a piece of meat, Osa Daisa v'chotfasei minei, and a dyer came by and took it away from him. For those of you that are wondering what a dyer is, we're going to lay it in Mi'at Hashem in tomorrow's parsha. And this, of course, is tomorrow's blood. So how appropriate it is that the Gemara brings about a dyer on the day that we lay it in the parsha. Dyer is one of the non-kosher birds. In fact, Rashi Chumash says that has a few names, dyer, medaya, etc. And so, of course, based on Gemara's. So, osa dayosa, a dyer came, b'chotfasaminei, you're wondering what a dyer is, it's something like a vulture of types, and went and chopped away the meat from this individual, the tolkase, and then afterwards threw it down on the ground, a little bit further down, in the next block, or five blocks down, and Chozer Boy Misvina. So the person who was originally holding on to the meat until the vulture went and chopped it away and dropped it somewhere else, he wanted to take the piece of meat back. Omli Rav, Rav said, no, also, you're not allowed to take back that piece of meat. Because Dana Omar, because I say, the Basar Dinevela Havas Teina, it could very well be that this diet, just like it chopped away the piece of meat from you, it previously chopped away a piece of meat of nevela from somebody else. V'tolkase, and dropped that nevela on that place where you now find the piece of meat. V'nasvahu uchrona, and rather took from you your piece of meat. In other words, the vulture knows the difference between kosher meat and treif meat. He doesn't want to eat nevela mikach. Much better to eat kosher meat. We have a super in our building that says he only eats kosher salami. He says because the non-kosher salami, they put in all the schmutz in it and all the fats in it. Doesn't know how they make the kosher salami. But anyway, so he only gets kosher salami. So the vulture is very, very makbid. He only goes and eats kosher meat, not the vela meat. So he originally was holding on to the vela meat. He sees a yid walking down the street, holding on to the kupid, to the kosher meat. So he went and dropped the nevela meat, took the kosher meat, and he's eating and feasting on the kosher meat somewhere else. And you, the yid, you think that this meat on the ground is your original meat. This could very well be. Ahu achruna, it happens to be different meat. The word achruna is like from acherim, a different piece of meat. In other words, you may be taking back now the nevela meat, while the vulture is eating now the kosher meat. So you cannot take it. Now, a similar case, but now we're leaving meat and we're going to the inyan of wine. as we know, there's a din that you cannot go and drink non-kosher wine. And the Gemara tells us, Ginoi, Ginoi is the name of a river. Shotaf, its currents went and swept away Zikin. Zikin are containers, canteens, jugs of wine. And now someone found one of the Zikin, and he wants to take it back, and he wants to drink the wine. Also, Uvda Kumi Rabbi Yitzchak Reb Lazar, he came in front of Yitzchak Reb Lazar, the Omar, and Rabbi Yitzchak Reb Lazar said, it depends. Yechkamun Shafia Kitrehain. If the word shafi means those that pour the wine, from a Russian shofi, people that pour the wine, yechkamun, if they can use their chachma, their intelligence, to recognize kitrehoin, their kesher, their seal on these zikin. In other words, if you have a good simen on the zikin, take back the wine and you can drink it. But if you cannot recognize the kesher, the simen on it, then unfortunately you cannot drink it. And the Gemara gives a similar case of the nakunika. Today in Eretz Yisrael, naknik is either frankfurters or hot dogs or salami, naknikia. But here the naknukika means over here other different types of jugs or containers for wine.
The kankan?
Maybe it comes to the word kankan. Why there's a nun before kankan? Veselnish, but it is what it is. Ishtaka pekanishta debuli. They were found, or at least one was found, in a base of Knesset in the town of Buli. And now the question is, can I take that back with me? Can we drink it? Can the person who lost it drink it? Also, Uvda Kumi Rabbi Yirmiya, this story came in front of Yirmiya. Omar, he said, Yithkamun Sikuraya Averitohen. So this is basically the same psak that we heard from Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Loza, that Rabbi Yirmiya says, if you can go and recognize a simon on these naknukim, on these kankans, then you can go and take it for yourself. Now, what was the simen? Apparently, these naknukim don't have the same type of kesher, but they have sikuraya. We have the word sikuraya. Exactly like chuta sikra. And sikra was used not only on the mizbeach. Where else did you use the sikra? On the Syria Kodesh, when you're talking about Masa Behem, Shkoyach, Brother Shai. And today's learning is dedicated in the memory of Frima Bas Shmuel Aleh Hashom, the mother of Brother Shai. She should have an Aliyah and Shema Aliyah in Gan Eden. But getting back to our Gemara, so the Gemara is telling us is that one of the ways that they would make a simon on their private objects, in this case on their wine barrels or their wine jugs or containers, they used to go and paint it with this red dye. So said Rav Yirmiya, all those people that go and put this type of simonim on the naknika, let them come and see if they can recognize that this is their simon, that this is their barrel. If it is, they can take it. Otherwise, they cannot take it, and the fate of the wine will be over the barrel. There's no way you can take it back if you don't have a proper simon. And similarly, says he, what? Gidi tzli. They found a roasted piece of gedi. Gedi is usually goat meat, but it doesn't have to be goat. It could also be lamb meat, because the word gedi can be multiple usages. Anyway, they found this roasted piece of gedi. Ishtakach b'israti digufsa. Israti means in a large intersection in the town or the city of Gufsa. They tiru, and the rabbis were matter to go and take this gedi tzli and take it home and eat it. Mishum shnei dvarim. For two reasons. Not really for two reasons, but for two bases, because we have a double shaila over here. Besides the issue of kashrus, whether I'm allowed to eat it or not, there's another question, do I have to return it to the original owner who lost it? Because of the fact that any time that you find an aveda, it's a din of Hashavas aveda. So do you have to give back this kditzli and make an announcement in shul, etc., etc.? Says the Gemara, they were matter for the finder to keep it and to eat it because of two different subjects and two different reasons. Misha metzia, the din of whether you have to return a metzia or keep the metzia, or misha meroi mahalchi drachim, as well as they said that it's kosher based on most of the passers-by and the travelers were kosher eating individuals. In other words, fine attired eaten that were eating only kosher. See, Mark explains, Mishim Metzia Detani. We learned back in Masechtas Bava Metzia and the Perek Eilu Metzias. Hamatzam Yaro Ari Mi Haragayis Mishunas Hayam Umishunas Hanor Ume Yisrache Gedoyla Umi Platche Gedoyla Hari Eilu Shaloi Lepnei Shabal Mesiah Shemihen. As we know, when it comes to the din of Aveda and Metzia, if there was Yiyush, Yiyush means that the original Baalim gave up hope of ever finding it again. Once that happens, everybody's allowed to go and take the Aveda for themselves. So the Gemara says that if there was an Aveda that was, for instance, in the lion's den, the owner of that item certainly gave up hope because he doesn't want to get close to the lion. And we're telling the truth. We're not lying over here. This is the truth. He doesn't want to get close to the lion. Miyada Gaius, if you're talking about Gaius, would be hold up knickers, you're talking about gangsters. Or Mishuna Sayam, or Mishuna Sanor. If a major wave, a major current of the Yam or Nor schlepped something away, how am I ever going to get it back? It's impossible. Or Misratje Gdoyla, in a major intersection, the middle of Times Square. Or Platje Gdoyla, in a major plaza where thousands of people are going back and forth all the time, in the middle of a grand central station. The Baalim know, I lost it in the middle of Times Square, in the middle of Grand Central Station, in the middle of the Nor. I'm never going to get it back. So therefore, there's Yish Baalim, and you can go and take it. Al Tilchois Choshen Mishpat. No problem. Now the question is, can you eat it? Mishum Roi Mahalchit Rochem Mishum Shchitas Nachri. Meaning that the vast majority, of the people passing by in that area were all from a yidin that were makbid on Shchitas Yisrael, not on Shchitas Nachri. So you do not have to worry about Shchitas Nachri because of the Roi Mahalchit Rochem, and therefore they paskin, take it home and eat it, gizuntahit.
Why isn't there a problem with Basar and his Alamin Ayin if it was there and it was...
Presumably because there was a siman on it. Vishtakach the min, the base Rebbe. And they found out that it was from base Rebbe. In other words, when the person ate it, subsequently he found out, you know how kosher this was. This belonged to the base Rebbe. Zorkim Arbayt, Eagle de Guvna, Ishtakach ben Pundika de Levi. Eagle is a round... Guvna is gvina, is cheese. Even today you can go and buy these round cheeses and then circular with the triangles and stuff. Ishtakach was found in the pundak of Levi. Pundak is an inn, but this doesn't mean a little pundikal like you'd find somewhere in the country in the Catskills. We're talking about a major place where hundreds and thousands of people are coming and going all the time. It's a really, really busy place. And they found this Gvina. The question was, well, this was Gvina Yisrael, the Gvina Sakam. They threw and they were mata Mishum Shnei Dvar. Mishum Metzia, or Mishum Roi, Mahalchi Drachim. Same as before. Mishum Metzia, the Tori Amat from the Aragais, Mi Arari. Mishum Nesam Yam, Mishum Nesam Nor. Mishrat, Yigdoy, Mishrat, Yigdoy, Yerushalim, Mishra, Baal, Mishyashim, Yihem. And this inn of Levi apparently had the same level of activity as in Esrat Yigdol, people or Plat Yigdol, people coming and going from all sides, and so therefore Baal Mesyash. What about the Kashrus? Mishem Roi Malchid Rochem, Mishem Gevinas Nachri. Since most of the people going back and forth in that area were all Jewish, and therefore they were makbid on Gevinas Nachri or Gevinas Yisrael, that's why you're allowed to go and eat it. And Mishtakech and subsequently they found out Mindra Blazim Rabbi Yossi, that in fact this Gvina belonged to Blazim Rabbi Yossi, and therefore it was super kosher, no problem, and he was Bahalocha that they went and took it and ate it, etc. Rabbana, Kumi Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbana asked now Rabbi Yossi, Vanan Chamion Rabbanan Machrizin. I don't understand why you're saying, we're not focusing on the kashrus now, now we're focusing on the first halacha, which is the fact that it's a metziah, whether you're allowed to take it or not, it's ratchi or platchi. So he said to him, I see the word chamyan is, that again like you have in Kol Chamir v'chamir, the chamite udloi chazite. The chamite udloi chamite, the chazite udloi chazite. So chamite means that you saw. So he says, we, Anan, we, chamyan, we see Rabbanan Machrizin, that the rabbis who live in our area, when they find a metziah in an area, an element, an aveda metziah, in an area of a stratu platja, where there's a large inn, a large intersection, we see that they don't just take it for themselves. Machrizim, but they put up signs in shul, and after davening, they say, Rabbosai, did anybody lose X, Y, and Z, etc. Amaleis, he said, at in havyosa mishkech, loy nasvis, if you would go and find such a metziah, would you not take it for yourself? In other words, are you suggesting that you want to be among those other rabbis and follow in their lead, and that not to take it? Rabbi Yonah Avuch, Rabbi Yonah, your father, the Omar came. He didn't feel that way. Elo Omar, he said, Halavai, kad nishkach, nishkach min piyusa ulegav. Your father, Rabbi Yonah, said that when an aveda was found, he said, halavai, it should be found from piyusa. Piyusa apparently was a large intersection. He says, halavai, we should find it from that intersection and closer to us, meaning in a place where you do not have to be machriz, because it's such a public arena, such a public plaza, or a major intersection, Sratu Pracha, where we just learned now a couple of times, Baal and Mesiash and Mehen and Har Elu Shaloi. So Rabbi Yonah said, oh, halavai, every single time an Aveda is found, it should be under those circumstances, so you should be able to take it and not have a problem.
Find your keepers.
Huh? So what do I see from this? That your father, Rabbi Yonah, was not taking that hard line that you are taking and saying, well, the Rabbanan are being machers. If it's a Sratu Pracha situation, you do not have to be machers, you can go and take it, and that's what your father did. So Tamar Philokane, Ashkach Veloin Nasif. Nevertheless, when he found it, he would not take it for himself without making Hachrosa. What's this Afilukane? Who is this referring to? So the Taklicharitin has Tubshatim. Either that was saying that even though we told Ramana that his father Rabbi Yonah made that emphatic statement, halavai, we should find it in a place that you can go and keep it, finders keepers, you don't have to go and return it. But nevertheless, that's what he said. But in terms of what he actually did, if he found an aveda, Filinosif, he would not go and take it for himself until and unless he made a hachraza and waited for people to go and claim that aveda. Or Taklachartin says, Afilu Kain, even though he heard that his father was so generous in taking generous, he felt lahalocha that you're allowed to go and take the aveda, and you do not have to meet machriz. Afilu Kain, nevertheless, he Reb Mana decided to be frumer than his father, if you will, and he said, okay, my father did lahalocha, but I want to be machmir, and I don't want to take it for myself without going and be machriz. Okay. Zogt ihm arbeite nahe mischte. Was ist? Behema shenitmes, shenimtsis, mi yushalayim di ad migdal eder, uke mi dosa lechol ruach. If you find a behema in or outside Yerushalayim until the town of Migdal Eder, where is Migdal Eder? Migdal Eder is not far from Beis Lechem. So, wow. Right now, from Beis Lechem to Yerushalayim is not much of a distance. You go by bus today, it takes you 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is. So, perhaps it's as far as 5 or 10 miles, something like that. Ukimidos l'chalruach, and in any direction of Yerushalayim, the equivalent of the distance between Yerushalayim and Migdal Eder. What's the din? If you find zcharim, if you find animals which are zcharim, then you have to assume that they have a kedusha of kedushas oilois. If you find the kevois, you have to assume that they have a status of zivchei shlamim. Now, what's the reason why you assume that the keva, for instance, is a shlamim and not an oila?
Whoa.
Because an oila can only be a zachar. Oila can only be brought from a zachar.
Chata should be the robe, or more than.
So now Brother Shai says, but in the cave it doesn't have to be a shlam, the cave can also be a chatas. And therefore Brother Shai says, probably the reason is because more people are bringing a neder and a dove of a shlamim than those people that unfortunately were chote and they have to go and bring a karm chatas. Anyway, but getting back to our Mishnah, so the Mishnah says if you find a zachar, you assume that it is an oila. If you find an akeva, then you assume that it is a shlam. The Gemara is going to ask that you cannot have an akeva for an oila, that I understand. But you can have a zachar for a shlamim. Why do you automatically assume that the zachar is an oila? It's a 50-50 chance, or at least a 20-30 chance.
Yeah, yesterday, Karov, your Mekel, right, Mechsa, your Machmir.
Okay, so well, Nichim, we will see this
but
when we get
to there are more Olos than there are Zikri
Shlomim?
I don't know. Why would you say people wanted to eat meat, they would bring a Shlomim so they could have...
Yeah, but they would bring females more. Pizbra, I don't know, maybe not.
Anyway... Zok the Mishnah, if you found it, Scharma Oilas Nakevis of Chishvam. Rabbi Huda Oime Haroi Lepsachim, Lepsachim Koidim Leregel Lamajain. If it's within 30 days before Pesach and you find a Zachar, you should not assume automatically it's an Oily, you should rather assume it's a Karban Pesach. Because after all, before Pesach, everybody is buying animals for purpose of bringing a Karban Pesach. So therefore, in all likelihood, it's a Karban Pesach and not an Oily after all, if it's within the 30 days before. Now the Mishnah continues, Berishoina hu yom mashkinin es moitzo eho ad shehu mevi nisocha. Every time that you bring a carbon oil or a carbon shlomim, as we know, you have to bring along nisochim. Okay, so somebody comes to the Beis Medrash and says, Rabbeisai, I found a behema. What is the behema? It's a zochor nekev. Oh, it's an oila, or it's a nekev, it's a shlomen. Aha. So what do you want to go and do with that animal? Tell me what I'm supposed to do. Well, you got to bring it for a carbon. Okay, here, take it. You got to bring a nesachim with it. Well, Rabbi said, I don't have any money with me. I didn't know. I found this animal. What do you want from me? You want to bring a carbon? You got to bring the nesachim. Lay plug. That's the rule. Whether you found it, whether you bought it, whether it's yours, whether it's your uncle's, even a shlomo have to have a nesachim. We're not going to let you go unless you go and bring the nesachim. I don't have any money. Okay? You're wearing a watch. Give us the watch as collateral. So Rishonim Mashkin and Esmaitzer, they would go and take a mashkin, actually made mischa until he brings in the sach. And as you know, you don't have to bring the sachem on the spot. You can even bring it a little bit later. Good. Anyway, many of the people that found these animals said, what do I need this headache for? I mean, it's one thing that I want to be a good guy and want to bring it for a carbon. I'm not taking it for myself, but I have to go and dig my hand into my pocket and go and pay for the sachem too.
Machapleta.
Exactly. So what do I need it for? Just let I see animal running around outside me. But later, isn't that animal keep on running around and don't bother me? That if in fact you had a good guy who brought this aveda to Beis Hamikdash to do his civic duty to bring it for an oiva or for a shlamim, he doesn't have to pay anything. The nesachim will be taken out mishal tzibur from the trumas halishka.
Does he get if it's a shlamim? Does he get to eat the meat though? Right, the coin gets the chazal shel.
Presumably.
And so he's profits on all sides.
Presumably, yeah, exactly. Omer Reb Shimon said the zayin dvar meskinu bezdin. There are seven takonis that bezdin made. In other words, similar to the Indian of Lev Bezdin Masna Lehen, and the Ze'echem Lehen, the one that you just mentioned, that if somebody finds a Zohar or a Nekeva, an Oyla or a Shlamim, that the Tzibur will pay for the Nesachim, that was one of the seven Takonis that Bezdin made, and now we're going to have six more, which the Mishnah is going to enumerate. So
I don't think you could eat it, because maybe it's...
Why not?
Because maybe it's...
It's Balaam, the Balaam of Yush. Balaam of Yush.
They're talking about it in Keva, so maybe it came for...
It's being makriv as a shlamim. So what happens?
It could have been a chattis.
You're being makriv as a shlamim.
You're makriv.
Okay, it's a para. Okay, so it can't be chattis. Okay, all right. So what do? You throw away the meat? I mean, it's baltashvis.
Wait until the Gemara, you'll see it's not so simple. We're going to talk about this in far greater detail, but I'm glad everybody has a beautiful thirst for Torah. They all want to go and figure out all the details, which we'll see in the Gemara in a moment. So that was the first takana, that Nesachim boy Mishal Tzibur in a case of a found oilo or shlam. Now, Reb Shimon says that was one of the seven. What are the other six? So, okay, so we go on to now number two, if you want. Nochri sheshalach ilos medina siyam. What happens if a goy sent an oil of medina siyam? And as we know from the pasuk, ish comes to tell you that even we accept karbonis from the umaisu oilam. And that was the famous story, Nebuch met the Kamtza Bar Kamtza, that we accepted that carbon, except that Bar Kamtza went and made the mum, and then afterwards told the Kaiser that we don't want to take it from him because he's a goy. That's not true. We go and take all kabbalas of all the goyim, or at least all oilais, a shaylo with only an oilo or a shlam and other things, but oilo for sure we accept from a goy. The sholach iman nesachim, if he knew all the rules and regulations and sent along with the oilo nesachim, great mishalay, no problem.
You're not worried that it's the wine he's sending is
presumably has a good hashkoch on the outside and
it's double sealed.
Yeah, okay, the whole geshift. Okay. Otherwise, even from the Eid, you'd have a shaylo. The imlav, and if not, all to the sholachim on nesachim, he sent along money for the nesachim. He sent along an envelope or a check, $100. Keep that for all minchas nesach, whatever it costs. And of course, the moiser minchas nesach, we already had in the Mishnah. Machloik is exactly what you do with that. But anyway, so he sent along the money, or he sent along the nesachim, was kosher, and you bring it. The imlav, what happens if he forgot or he didn't know, and he just sent the carbon? Krei mishal tzibur. We don't want to reject it. We don't want to have a kamtza bar kamtza situation. We will bring the carbon, and the nesachim will come mishal tzibur. V'chein, and another case, ger shemes, you have a ger that unfortunately passed away without leaving any family, in other words, he wasn't married, or he was married, he didn't leave any children, whatever the situation was, and v'niach zvachim, and he left over among his family and among his possessions, zvachim kabbalas to bring, if he also left in his estate, nesachim, real live nesachim, meaning a mincha and wine that he had designated and devoted, or even money that he had consecrated for the purposes of minchas nesachim, that we go and take from the ger's We take the zvachim that he left over, we take the nesachim that he left over. Kremi shalai. Vimlav, what happens, however, if he did not set aside money or put away nesachim, but he just had money generally? Then, as we know by a ger, the shemes, if there are no yorshim, then anybody can be zochem min a hefker. So therefore, it's as if he left nothing other than the zvachim. And if not, therefore, kremi shal tzibur, rather, we're going to have to go and take the nesachim from the tzibur to go and pay for it, just like in the case of the nochri, and just like the case of the person who found the aveit. Utanai bezdin hu al koyin gadol shemes. What happens if a koyin gadol passes away? Shetein min chosay kreva mishel tzibur. Aha. So now, the Gemara is going to have a fairly lengthy discussion about this. This is what we call popularly the Minchas Chavitin. Minchas Chavitin is a korban that the Kohen Gadol brought every single day of the year. In the beginning of the day, he brought a full Isorayim. And then what happened? He was Machtzisa, Bavoyka Machtzisa Barav. He had to go and divide it up, bring half of it in the morning, half of it in the afternoon. What happens if the Kohen Gadol went and brought the first half in the morning, and then midday Nebuchadnezzar passed away, and they did not immediately appoint a successor Kohen Gadol? There was a vacuum, a power vacuum, for a period of time. Now you have to go and bring the second part of the Minchas Chavitin, because he only brought the first part. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, min chosei kreivim bishal tzibur. We're not going to go and use that second portion that is remaining, but rather we're going to bring a brand new mincha, minchas chavitin, paid for by the tzibur. What's the reason for that? And Mitchell will see psukim on the omid base. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, it's not mishal tzibur, mishal yorshim. The Kohen Gadol presumably has a family, and so therefore the yorshim have to go and cough up funds to go and buy and bring the second Minchas Chavitin for the day. But under normal circumstances, if the Kohen Gadol were alive, he would bring the second half. Unfortunately, he passed away, says the Mishnah, Ushlei Moise Kreva, the second half that you bring on that day is not a half. You bring a full carbon Minchas Chavitin in the afternoon. And says the Mefarshim, that this part of Shlei Moise Kreva is not Rabbi Yehuda's halacha. This applies across the board, even according to the Tanakam. The only machlokes between them is who funds the second part of the Minchas Chavitin on the day when the Kohen Gadol, and he brought the first part in the morning and then he passed away. Who pays for the second part? The second part being a Shlema, not the remaining half, or just a half. You have to bring the full Isarin in the afternoon. Who pays for that? Machloikis, whether that's one of the Tanoi Bezdin, Krei Mishal Tzibur, according to Behuda, no, it's Mishal Yosh.
And the remaining
goes to Ibud. That you will see on the Amun Beis. Ala Melech Vala Eitzim Shiva Kihanim Ni Oysim He. As you know, Al Kol Karboncha Takriv Melech, every single carbon you have to go and put on Melech, and they, you would go and salt it at the top of the kevesh. The Kohanim had the Evorim, and then they would go and salt and then throw it onto the fire. As well as, so who funded that melech? That came from the Trumas HaLishka. The other Eitzim they also had, and the deer who Eitzim. Of course, people can go and be menadiv and bring their own. That's the nine mishpachas that are enumerated in Masechta Tanis, which we had not long ago in our own Masechta. So, of course, you can be menadiv Eitzim, but if you, nobody was menadav eitzim, or you need more, so you took out from the deer who eitzim. Oh, that's all very fine and dandy. So what did they use the melech and the eitzim for? For the kabanas. However, there was tanai bezdin, that the kehanim that are now going to eat from the kodshi kudishim, like from the karban chatas, the karban asham, and those kabanas which are intended for the kehanim, so where do they have to eat it? They have to eat in Nazar. It's not like a carbon Pesach that you take at home, or Shlomim, you take it home in Yerushalayim, you got to eat in the Azara. So in the Azara, where are they going to cook it and eat it? Okay, so they, obviously there were facilities to go and roast it, but what about putting on Melech and Eitzim? Says the Mishnah, that it was a Tanai Bezdin, that the Kahanim do not have to bring their own salt shakers from home. They don't have to bring their own fuel, but rather they can go and use from the public Melech and Eitzim that are intended for the Kabbanis on the Mizbeach, but they can use it for their private consumption of those Kabbanis as well.
Mi'usin is Lashon of Hana'ah.
Right, Mi'usin, they can use it, exactly. The al hapora shloyu mi'alim bi'afra. When you're talking about the Parah Aduma, this is already not in the Beis HaMikdash, this is already outside the Beis HaMikdash, that, of course, as you know, you have the Parah Aduma, and the paraduma is basically the ash together with the mayim chaim or keli that you mix together. What happens if somebody wants to use the efer of the paraduma because he has a wound and he wants to use it, yechvais on his wound, that you're not moyo if you go and use that efer. We touched on this a little bit yesterday. What happens if you have a kan which is possible? Meaning, as we know, assuming we go according to the Tanakhama of yesterday, the Rabbanan, that hold that one of the 13 pushkis was for kinan meaning for a pair of oifis, one being a chatas oif, one oifis oif, for those people that need that as a shekel kaparo to be matir bekochim, like the zav, or the zova, or the yeledes ania, because the yeledes who happens to be ashira brings animals, and yeledes ania brings the oifis, as well as a metzoira, who is an oni, has to go and bring. And then Barry mentioned that yesterday, that is also the minchas choyte person, that's the middle, that's the dalis, not the dali dalis, but the mafarshin and the iri says that typically that minchas choyte person didn't put the money inside the kan because he wanted to be present when he got his kapara as a result of the fact that he did one of the three isurim for which you bring a chatas oy the yored. Anyway, but bottom line is, what happens by the kinim, they were all together. Chvayis 100 matbeis, and they know we have to go and bring 100 karbonos, and the kohen is doing the malika, and everything is fine and dandy. And then, unfortunately, one of these birds unfortunately became posel, and now the question is, what are we going to do? I don't know who the baalim are because all the baalim went home, and all the baalois went home. All of the women that put their matbeis in, and remember, we said in the gemara yesterday, we've learned this. I'm sorry,
the purveyors have picked it up.
Okay.
Vendors.
Vendors.
Yeah, that's going to be Rabbi Yossi that we're going to have in a moment. So according to Tanakama, who's going to pay for the kinim psulas to make sure that all the people that put their money into those pushkis, they get the full level of kapara, so they can go and continue eating now karchim, which they couldn't eat until now, because they mechusari kapara. Oh, Zok the Gemara, Zok the Mishnah, that was also one of the seven takanais, and that was Shehu Bois Rishol Tzibur, that you take after the Trumas Alishka, you just gotta pull out an extra $10, $20 to go and make up for these kinim, because I can't identify who the Baalim are, and we want to make sure that they are covered. Well, Rabbi Yossi, this is Rabbi Yossi we had yesterday, HaMesapik Es HaKinim, Hu Mesapik Es HaPsulis, whoever was the purveyor, in other words, the seller, the supplier of kinim, and the Rush adds, it doesn't mean that this was a one-time thing that he supplied the kinim. He must have had some sort of long-term contract, because it's not fair to any seller who's selling pink that day 20 oifis. Oh, by the way, you got a shtel tzu, another 2 oifis. Why? My whole profit margin is 10 cents. You're taking away all my profits. You're talking about a long-term supplier, and therefore he's making, Baruch Hashem, good money from the Beis Hamikdash, from his sales. So he has to go and throw in from time to time if you have a case of kinim psulos. And yesterday we had the case of the lost money, the money that was on the floor, and therefore we don't know whether it's from the kinim or from another one of the pushkis. So therefore we ask the supplier, you have to go and throw in a couple of extras whenever we have this type of shayla about psulos or avudos.
Did we have that yesterday that it comes from the shiver?
No, we only brought Rabbi Yossi. We didn't bring the Tanakh company. You're absolutely right. We only brought Rabbi Yossi. Zok Dimar. We're going back to the beginning of the Mishnah. And the Gemara, the Girsa in the Gemara is a little bit brief, to the point where there are so many different pshatim in these words and the next Gemara, because everybody tries to fill in what seems to be missing. For instance, if you look at the Agoyis Agro Aleph, you have one long Aleph going from the beginning till the end, all the girsa that you should have in the Gemara. So we're not going to learn exactly where the girsa sagra, but rather we're going to bring at least the first part. If you want, let's take just a quick look. We go to Agoy Sagra here on the left hand side. Kol hapiska nidfesis b'chiluf girsois u'mevulbeles ma'oid. That's a ringing endorsement of the girsa that you find in the Gemara. V'alkesina, what is the proper girsa? V'ein ha-shlom ha-boy min ha-schorum min ha-nakei boys. Remember, we started the Mishnah that if you find the behemah at the outskirts of Yerushalayim, between Yerushalayim and Migdal Eder, then what's the story? If you find a Zohar, it's an Oila. If it's an Akeva, it's a Shlam. Then Akeva has to be a Shlamim and not an Oila. That's a Dover Poshet. But why would I say that a Zohar has to be an Oila? A Zohar could also be a Shlamim. And that's the Gemara's Kasha. The Ein HaShlamim Boim HaShar Min HaKevois. Maybe the Zohar is also a Shlamim. How do you automatically say that it's an Oila? Rabbi Shiraba Omar, Lovay B'demei and Chanam. And that's where we start our Gemara, going back to the Gemara. Rabbi Shiraba says, Omar Lovay B'demei and Chanam. What exactly does that mean, Lovay B'demei? So, what it means is, we're talking about a person who really wants to do the right thing. And although in the Mishnah it makes it sound so simply that if you find a Zohar, you bring it for an Oila, really that's not the case according to the Gemara's Tirutzim. We're going to have three Tirutzim to this Kasha. The Kasha is a very simple Kasha. How do you automatically say that a Zohar is an Oila? The Zohar might be a Shlam. So the first Teretz that the Gemara is going to go and say is, Lovi B'demei and Shana. Lovi B'demei means a person takes two piles of money. What's a pile of money? The value of this animal. Let's assume that this animal is worth $500. So he takes two piles of $500, one on the right and one on the left. And now he looks at the animal and says, Zohar, you're not telling me whether the Yerbalim or Makdashu as an Oilu or as a Shlamim, and I want to do the right thing and I want to be Machmet to the nth degree. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm now looking at you, Zohar, and I'm saying, if you happen to be an Oila, I'm now mechalul, I'm poiding you on this pile of Oila money. And the other pile I'm going to go and bring a Shlamim as a Nidavim. On the other hand, if you happen to be a Shlamim, I'm going to go and be poiding you on this second pile of money, and that's going to be Shlamim money, and that's going to be the chilul of this animal. And what's going to happen is that the other money I'm going to go bring an oilas nedava on my own. So this person, in fact, when the Mishnah says zecharim oilas, it doesn't mean only oilas, it means afilu oilas. As opposed to the kevets which are only zivchei shlamim, the zecharim have a status of 50-50. Maybe it's an oila, maybe it's a shlamim, and therefore you have to go on. You don't have to. But a person who wants to be Yotze Aladeya, so to speak, he has to go and bring both an Oila and a Shlamim. Not that he brings this animal itself, but he's Mechalel this animal onto the two piles of money. And he says that either if this animal is an Oila, it should be Mechul on this first pile of money of $500. And the other 500 will be a Shlamim for a Nedava. And if this animal happens to be a Shlamim, it should be Mechul on the second pile of money. And then the first pile of money will be an Oilas Nedava. So well, either way.
But does it, the animal doesn't have a mum? If he has. Okay.
That's the first Pshat in the Gemara. Rabbi Shirabba says, be Mechalalit on money. And when it says in the Mishnah, it's Charm Oilas, not that you bring this animal for an Oila, but you're Mechalalit on the two piles of money and bring one Oila and one Shlam. Freitach Barry, how can you go and be Mechal an animal which happens to be a Tzmima? Amalei Rav Yochanan, Oymalei the Adam, Tzei Uma Oil Bekadshim. How can you go and do something like that? You're being Moil Bekadshim. When he means Moil Bekadshim, he doesn't mean in the classic sense of Me'ila. What he means to say is, like Barry just asked, to want to be Mechal, you want to be Poida, a carbon, it's got to be a balmum. You can't go and simply take a tmima and say, okay, I'm going to mechal on this, mechal on that. L'chayre, that doesn't work. Now, what the Gemara does not bring is the mandiyomar. This whole Gemara that we're talking about is brought in Mesechtes Me'ila, and there is a Tana Remeir, famous Remeir, that says that in fact, under these circumstances, you can be poida a tmima. Why can you be poida tmima according to the mayor? Because the mayor says, what's the whole reason why you're bringing, why you have to wait until an animal gets a mum to be able to be mechalit, to be able to be poided? Because until now that animal is ro'oi to be brought for a carbon, right? If you took an animal and you consecrated it, you were makdish it for an oila, for a shlamim, or whatever you were makdish it for, and now you want to change your mind. No, as long as it's ro'oi l'mizbeach, you can't change your mind. And if it becomes a balmum, then you can now change your mind, meaning you can't bring this carbon anymore, so you go and be poided. Ah, makes sense. In this case, says Rameir, it's ke'en a balmum, because I cannot bring this animal for an oila, because maybe it's a shlam. I cannot bring it for a shlam, because maybe it's an oila. So it is not ro'oi lavi'i lidei mizbeach, says Rameir. Under those circumstances, you are allowed to go and be moil, not moil, you're allowed to go and be machal this animal onto money, even though it's a tmima, a very rare case, and that's a sugya in Mesechtas Me'ilah. Anyway, getting back to our, it's also, by the way, Mesechtas Kiddushin on Daf Nun Hey, there's a lengthy discussion about this. The Gemara brings this, these words of our Gemara brought this slightly different girsa, but they have the whole discussion over there, Daf Nun Hey in Kiddushin. But getting back to our Gemara, so Rabbi Yochanan doesn't like this teret and says, come on, here, it's still to me. El Hilchu ben Acher Roiv. It's very simple, they went after Roiv. Im Roiv's Chorim, Oilois. Im Roiv Nekevois, Zivchei Shlomim. In other words, b'derech klal, what are roiv nekevis brought? They brought for a shlamim, not for a chatas. You heard already from Brother Shai before that more people are going to be menader than menader shlamim than they're going to go and bring a chatas. Chatas shlamim. The person did a chet b'shogeg. Hopefully, there aren't so many people that did chet b'shogeg. So that's why we'll assume it's a shlamim. And al pi roiv, what's the zachar brought? It's brought for an oila. So we'll assume that it's an oila. And the Gemara asks again the same kasha. Who says? After all, shlomim bought from both. People are not makbid when they bring a carbon shlomim, dafka they bring it from the keva. So zachar can be an oiler, can be an shlomim. What is this imroiv scharim oiler? The chayyur Rabbi Yochanan has not helped out the situation. And therefore, says Yimar Ketzeru Oysa, instead what you have to do is Moitzian Lechulin. First, you have to make it into Chulin. How do you make it into Chulin? You have to wait, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Not like Rabbi Yishir Rabbi that says, according to Rabbi Meir and Mesechtes Kiddushin and Mesechtes Me'ilah, that you can go and be Mechalit even without a Mum. No, you gotta wait until it gets a Mum. Once it gets a Mum, then you can be poided. So you're gonna have to, when you find this animal, Chutzmi Yerushalayim Ad Migdaleder, you're going to have to hold on to the while until it gets a mum. And what do you do after that? And then you can go and make an oil afterwards. In other words, take the same money that we spoke about before, and it doesn't mean just oilois, but it means also oilois. In other words, the same procedure as Rabbi Rabba said, but just Rabbi Rabba said a tremendous chidush, that you can go and be mechal this animal on money, even though it was still a tam. Says Rabbi Yochanan, no, you gotta wait until it becomes a balmum, and then you do the same thing. If this happens to have been an oila, it's mechul on this money, and I'm gonna bring it for an oila, and the other money is gonna be a shlam, it's gonna be an adava, and if it was a shlam, I'm mechal it on this shlam money, that's gonna be the original animal, and I'm gonna give a brand new oila from my own nidva saleid. So the same terms as before, but just that you wait until it becomes a balmum. Yes, Brother Shai.
This good person here is not going to be wanting to incentivize. Even the Sakhan might say, all right, I'll pay for the Sakhan, but this now is a whole two behemoths here.
It's costing, he's not finding Messiah, he's finding a hove.
No question about it. So that's why the Gemara used that expression, Habba Lavoy Bidomin. A person who's willing to go out of pocket and to be very generous, and you're right, it's just going to be a major headache. So next time, don't travel around from Yerushalayim to make the later. Stay home in Bismedish and learn the daf. So you won't have these problems.
That's
the best way. Am Reb Zeira, kmo diat omer taman tnai bezin hu ala moisorois shiyikarvu oilois kein atmar oifacha tnai bezin hu ala oiv shiyikarvu oilois. Reb Zeira says you don't have to come on to either of the earlier two pshatim that we had, but it's a much simpler case. And that is anytime you have a moiser of a carbon, just like we had earlier on, we saw yesterday in the Mishnah on the Vav, you can have, for instance, a moiser chatas. You have extra money left over from a chatas. What do you do with it? You put it in a dova. You're going to bring it for an oil of a kites and mizbech. Why? I originally set this aside to go and be for chatas money. Why should it be coming up? Abazoy is this is the time bezdin that moisturizes when you have extra funds left over, you bring for an oil. Kain at mar. Mar means like omar. See, the same thing you say over here too. Oifach, that tonight bezin huala oiv doishi karbo oil. So when you find these animals which are wandering between Yerushalayim and Migdal Eder, then you automatically, if it's a Zachar, you bring it for an Oilam, even if the original Balaam had in mind for a Shlamim. So sorry, the original Balaam are not here. This Behema has no Balaam to it. It's a Hefker, orphan. Basically. It's an orphan. Yeah, good. So therefore, you're going to go and bring it for an Oilam, so you don't have to do all of these mechanics that we spoke about.
And if you do bring, let's say you do have an Akev, you bring the Shlamim, do you smicha on it? Because the Baal are close to the smicha. So are you the Baal now? Because
it's a good question. I don't know if you become the Baalim. And even, but one thing is for sure, smicha is not ma'akif. If you're asking the chetchilit, should you go make smicha, whether it's considered to be yours? Chabesish. I don't know if you get the Baalis in it. I would suspect you don't, because you know, only by you can say by carbon. By Kochim Kalim, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, I believe, then that's considered to be Mamon Balaam. But otherwise, all Kabbanis are not your own Mamon, they're considered to be from the belong to the Rabbi Yishleilim.
And the person,
because it's Rahmana.
And the person who finds it, the busser of the Shlam,
who's going to eat it?
Yeah.
I assume he's going to have first stabs on it. Okay. You can, anybody, of course, can eat it. The question is, does he have the right? Presumably he does, but I don't know.
And the or also, the or of the Kashim Kalim go to the Balaam also.
Right, so presumably he would get that. I assume. I can't tell you authoritatively, but that's my assumption.
It's a discount on his
outline. Amr Yankev Bar Acha. Ein ze mezit? What are you doing over here? You're telling me to go and use what could have been a shlamim and bring it now lechetchilim and maze it as an oila. Is that? I can't fathom that. Amalei says, what's the problem? Ein ze mezit. Mezit would be that you are defying authority and you're doing something wrong. If the tnai bezin is that you will find you have a moiser achatas, it becomes an oila. So if you have a moiser of an animal that drains next to migdal eder, so it's tanai bezin, that's not considered to be a mezid, and you can go and do the lechatchila, bring it now for karm oila without any reluctance or any hesitation. Good. And now the Gemara is going to repeat a Gemara that we already had twice, one back on Davov, and once we already had yesterday, that Omar Rabiasa ad anno tamon, when I was still there, meaning when I was still in Bavel, Shamus, I heard the following story. Apparently he was Eid Re'iyah, he was there himself. I heard that Kol Rav Yehuda Shol Shmuel, that Rav Yehuda, the Talmud of Shmuel, asked Shmuel the following halacha, Hifrish Shkoli Umes, what's the din? You have a person, it's Rish Chodesh Adar, he put away the Machtz HaShekel to go and give to the Beis HaMikdash, and now they told him on 15th day of Adar, okay, all the Gizborim are sitting now at the Shulchanos, waiting to go and collect the Machtz HaShekel. So he takes the Machtz HaShekel in hand, and he's smiling, I'm going to go to the Gizborim, I'm going to give the Machtz HaShekel, and en route, unfortunately, he was run over by a bus, or he was, because of his ecstasy, he was so ecstatic, Nebuchadnezzar, he went into cardiac arrest. Mendy did whatever he could with the Gvaldig and Mesiris Nefesh, as Mendy always does everything, and unfortunately, lo yalayni v'lo yalaychem, the person passed away. So now the question is, what do you do with that shekel? Amaleisish, Mul told, Rav Yehuda Yiplun Adov, put it into the pushka for Nadovus, for the Kaitz and Mizbech. Okay, that's one halach. Second halach is, Umoysa Asiris Eifesh Alay, when you have a Kohen Gadol, and he left over extra funds for his Asiris Eifa. That Asiris Eifa is again the Minchas Chavitin that is brought every single day by the Kohen Gadol. What happens if he set aside $20 to go and buy the flour? He goes into the store, there's a clearance sale right after Pesach, everything is half price, and instead of $20 he can get it for $10, now he has an extra $10. What do you do with the extra money? Rabbi Yochanan Omi Yalichem Yimam HaMelech, he cannot have any Hanoah from that money, he can't do anything with the money, he's just thrown to Yam HaMelech. Or Rabbi Leza Omar Yiplu Nadova, again you put that into the pushkis for Nadova. So now, because we had that discussion of Shmuel and Rabbi Yehuda, now from here to the bottom of the Omid, the Gemara is going to go into a lot of the details about this Minchas Chavitim. I'm going to go, if you don't mind, I'm going to take out a Chumash, because the Gemara is going to focus on... Oh, Mendy comes to the rescue!
Once again.
That's great. If I'm not mistaken, the beginning of Parashat Tzav. Look it up. We'll take out the Parashat. Okay. Fine. This is in Parashat Tzav, towards the beginning. At Sheni. Vayidav Shalom Moshe Leimer. Ze korban aharoin uvonov asher yakrivu l'Hashem b'yoyim himoshach oisoy asiris o'eifa soyles mincha tomid machtzisah baboyker machtzisah ba'olf. what the pasuk tells you, this is a carbon of Aharon and of his children. When do they bring this carbon? So the pasuk says, "Biyomi Moshech Oisei," on the day that he is inaugurated, that he is initiated into the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. And this applies both to a kohen hedyot and to a kohen gadol. That a kohen hedyot, on the first day that he does the avoda in Beis Hamikdash, everybody, his whole family is there to go and clap and to go and say, "Oh, we're so proud! Our son is wearing fancy gowns." And then, of course, he puts on the Dekahuna, and he does his, brings his karbanis, and the first thing he has to do on that day, he has to bring his karban, the Minchas Chavitin, to go and be the sign that he is now a full-fledged kohen, and he's doing his avoda. He has to bring that karban. Same thing, by the way, applies to a kohen gadol. On the day that he is inaugurated as the new kohen gadol, he also has to bring this Minchas Chavitin. In addition to that, a kohen gadol every day of the year, once he becomes kohen gadol, has to go and bring a Minchas Chavitin. What's the difference between the kohen gadol's Minchas Chavitin and the kohen hedyot's Minchas Chavitin? That the kohen hedyot's is a one-time thing of one complete asiris ha'efa. Mashenkin, when you're talking about the kohen gadol, he brings it every day, and he brings it twice. Half in the morning, half in the afternoon. So the kohen hedyot brings it once in his lifetime, unless he becomes kohen gadol. Otherwise, once in his lifetime, day of inauguration, one carbon asiris eifa, period. Mashenkin, the kohen gadol brings it every day, and he splits it half in the morning, half in the afternoon. Now, why is it called Minchas Chavitin? Because the pasuk continues on, Al Machvas, Bashem and Teyosim, Urbechas Tiviana. Burbechas means that you have to go and scald it with very, very hot water. Some people who know these things better than me talk about that this is bagel-like, in a sense. But it's not just bagel, because it's also tufine. Tufine is from the Lashon afia. It's got to be baked. And as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, they had to do two separate processes with this mincha. Number one, it had to be baked, and number one, it had to be fried. I know murbecha sounds like scalding water, but the Gemara talks about being fried and being baked. Whether it was baked first and fried second, fried first, baked second, that's going to be a machlekes. But that's what it has to be. Those, and then minchas pita. Pita means that you're going to go and crumble it up and take it with your fingers, and then go and make the kmitza, etc. Takarech lichoich l'ashem. Bakoin ha-mashiach takmi bon aviasa oisa. Until now we spoke biyom himoshech oisai, the day of inauguration. But now we're talking koin ha-mashiach means the koin gadol. Every single day he brings it, and when he passes away, then tachtem ibon of Yasa Oisa, then his children who take over the next successor, Kohen Gadol, will also bring it every single day. Kol toktar, it's not eaten, but it is, goes totally on the Mizbeach. Fine. So now with this kind of brief or lengthy hakdama, we're going to go into all the details of making this Asir safe. In Jokti Yumariyetz, Asir Sa'efa Shel Kohen Gadol. Asir Sa'efa, how did you do it on a daily basis? Rabbi Yochanan Omar Choytze Oisa B'yach Kach Mekadcha. Rabbi Shemalokish Omar Mekadcha B'yach Kach Choytze Oisa. In the morning, the Kohen Gadol has to prepare the entire Minchas Chavitin. Now the question is, what comes first? The chicken or the egg? Or in this case, does he split it first and then be Mekadosh it? Or is he Mekadosh it first and then he splits it? According to Rabbi Yochanan Choytze Oisa, he takes an entire Asirus Eifa, splits it in half. Half he's going to bring now this morning and he's Mekadosh it. And the other second half is going to remain Chulin until the afternoon. When he brings it 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock, whatever, then he's going to be Mekadosh the second half at that time. But Rish Lakish says, no, he's Mekadosh the whole thing now. He's going to then, after that Choytze Oisa, use the first half for a carbon. Now, second half he's going to leave for the afternoon. So nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish is, will that second half during the interim period have a din of chulin or a din of kodesh? Because was he makdish or was he not makdish the second half? Okay. Zokti Yomara, Ovad posala shekein afilu mois yeichul amamelech. Okay, so what happens now? I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Sorry, my apologies. Okay, Masnisa pliya Rabbi Yochanan. We have a braisa that seems to argue with Rabbi Yochanan. What does it say in the braisa? Makrev mechza u'mechza ovad. Now, what is this makrev mechza u'mechza ovad? The Gemara leaves out ikar chosim in a sefer. It's talking about you had a kohen gadol. The kohen gadol brought in the morning his half of the Asirus Eifa like he typically does, and then unfortunately, before he had a chance to bring the second half, Nebuch, 12 o'clock midday, Nebuch Halech Leilama, he passed away. And they immediately, they don't like to have a power vacuum, immediately they appointed a second Kohen Gadol, and that second Kohen Gadol is going to bring now his Minchas Chavitin. Now the question is, should he go and use the second half left by the first Kohen Gadol? And the answer is no. He should go and bring a brand new, full Asirus Eifa. Of that brand new Asirus Eifa, he's going to bring half of it in the afternoon, and Makrev Mechza, he'll be Makrev half of his own new Asirus Eifa, Umechza Ovad, both the remaining Mechza of his own Asirus Eifa, as well as the Mechza of the late deceased Kohen Gadol, both of those Mechzas will be Ovad, those go the Ibud. In other words, those will not be used for a carbon. The question is, why is that so? The Gemara says, now, how is that Pligya Rabbi Yochanan? Because since Rabbi Yochanan says, since the second half of Kuntra Rabbi Yochanan never became Koidish, it remained Chulin. So if it's Chulin, then why is it Ovad? Just use it now to go and bake a challah, bake a cake, bake a matzah, do whatever you want. It didn't have any Kedusha. He was only Makdish that first half that he brought in the morning. Yes, he intended using the second in the afternoon, but Lamai's intentions are great, but he didn't bring it because he passed away.
Was it prepared in the Kli Sharis?
It was not prepared in the Kli Sharis. If it had Kli Sharis, there's nothing to talk about. So Zog the Gemara, they brought it mibeis, so they brought it Minchas Chavitin. Anyway, Zog the Gemara, so the Chor is Shver on Rabbi Yochanan from that
meeting. Well, can't you say that in that case it had no Kedusha L'Chatila? Why couldn't the second Kohen Gadol use that also? No, it's not Kohen.
So wait for the next Gemara. We're going to wait for the next Gemara for that.
Even for half just
in
the whole.
Yeah, yes. In the meantime, we'll talk about that shortly. But in the meantime, we want to know, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why do you say that the remaining Mechza of the original Kohen Gadol will pass away? Why is that? Oh, but why don't we say this just Chul? After the Gemara, Pasalah, he said, listen, Nishveh, Shekinah Filim Ma'oz Yehul Yam HaMelech. We said by the Kohen Gadol in this previous discussion between Shmuel and his Talmud, Rav Yehuda, that Rav Yehuda said to Shmuel, what do we do with the Asiris Eifa Shaloi? What do we do with the extra monies? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, we said, Yehlichem Yam HaMelech. That means that you got to go and throw in the Yam HaMelech. This is only money. This didn't have any Kedusha at all. He had set aside $20 to go and buy his Asiris Eifa. There was a clearance sale. He was able to get it for a discount for $15 or $10. He has extra $5 or $10. What do you do with that? That you have to throw the Yam HaMelech. It's madach money that wasn't even consecrated. Nothing happened with it. It's in the money stage. It's not even in the baked Asiris Eifa stage. You say it has to go to Ibud, the Yam HaMelech. Al Avaz Kama Vi Kama. When he actually used the flour and he made the Asiris Eifa, even though we didn't use that second half, it also goes quote unquote the Yam HaMelech, it goes the Ibud. So those nishka kashim. But frankly, one must need simply in our gears in our Gemara is out of Shimon the Lakish. However, the Kura changes this to Pliga al Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, I have a second raya against Rabbi Yochanan. What's the second raya against Rabbi Yochanan? Nimtzu, as a result of this tragic story that the other Kohen Gadol, the first Kohen Gadol, passed away, and now there's a new Kohen Gadol that is now in charge. Nimtu shnei chatzoin kraven u'shnei chatzoin avudin. We had altogether two Asiris Eifas. Each of the two, we split into half. The old Asiris Eifa, we only used one half. The second half goes to the Ibud. And the second half of the new Kohen Gadol's Asiris Eifa goes to the Ibud. Why did they go to Ibud? Because we just said now. He only uses his new, he doesn't use for the other Kohen Gadol, and he only uses half. But Tony Alan, we learned in the Braisa, Mechta Rishon and Mechta Sheni, to Ubud Tsurasan, the Yetzel, the Beis Asreifa. They have a dinner of Ibud Tsura, and they have to go the Beis Asreifa. So, frankly, Mara, why does it have to go the Beis Asreifa? Didn't you just go and say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that original Asiris Eifa did not have any Kedusha to it, so it never became a Karban, right? His first Choytz of Yachach Mekacha. So it has to go to Ibud. Okay, you can't use it. If you use it, you would have potential Midrabana, din of Ne'ila. Fine, but it doesn't have a din of a Karban. Why would you have to do that? It's not a Karban. Karban becomes possible to Ubatura and Yates Lebesa Sefer, not over here. Every apostle look at Bishmol the Omar Isorin Mekadish Kishakoyin Miskarif Tchil. Isor Mekadish says the Gemara. It goes like Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel said that the Kalim called the Isorin is Mekadish. As you remember, we had not too long ago in the Gemara that the elsewhere the Gemara talks about the fact that there was a difference between the Midos Hayovish and the Midos Halach. The Midos Halach were Nimshech both from inside and from outside, and therefore that's why we said the Birutzin of the liquids on the top ought to have a din of Kedusha, because the whole thing is Kaddish. Masha'en came by the Midas Hayovesh, they were not Niskaddish. So when you put the Asiris Eifel, you took the flour, and you put it into the Isarin to measure for bringing the carbon, so other than Rabbi Shmuel, nothing happened. It's still a Kli Chulin. However, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that Isarin was considered to be a Kli Sharis. It did have a din of Kedusha, and therefore when you put the full Asiris Eifa, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it did get a din of Kedusha. So when Rabbi Yochanan said that Choytz V'Yachach Mekadsha, he was talking about Alibi D'Rabbanan, that hold that the Kli called the Isorin, this measure called the Isorin, does not have Kedusha. So to give it Kedusha, you have to go me Matish it. That's why we're asked the Kasha. So why does the second half go Ibatsura and Yetz Leves Esreif? However, if it goes to go to Rabbi Shmuel, the Rabbi Shmuel says that the Kli itself is Mekadosh, which is Bemison, what Barry was asking 5 minutes ago, that it's in a Kli Sharis, doesn't that give it Kedusha Saguf, also Kli Sharis? According to Rabbi Shmuel, Ein Echanami, Taka does have that Kedusha Saguf, and therefore, according to him, that second half remaining would be imbued with Kedusha. Even Rabbi Yochanan would agree, according to Rabbi Shmuel, and therefore that's why Toen Ibatsura and Yetz Leves Esreif. Okay. Says Yomar, Kisha Koyin Miskarev Tchil Lavoida, when the Koyin brings the first, the Koyin has now graduated Kohuna school, and now he is going to bring, he's going to start his inauguration, initiation of doing Avoida today, his Tchilas Avoida, then maybe Asir Seifa, Shulah, he has to go and bring that Asir Seifa, like it says in the Pasuk, on the Yom Himosha Choysoi, on the day of inauguration. And Avoida means, don't let any other Koyin do the Avoida. He does the Avoida for this carbon. He's bringing it, it's his, he does it. Echad Koyin Gadol, this applies to a Koyin Gadol, on his first day of being Koyin Gadol, as well as every day the Koyin Gadol is Koyin Gadol, he has to bring his carbon. The Echad Koyin Hedid, She'ovdu, that did Avoida, Ad She'ov, Nushtik. What happens if the Kohen Gadol on his day of inauguration, or the Kohen Hedyot on his day of inauguration, they did Avoida before they brought their Asirus Seifa? I got time for Asirus Seifa, I'll do it in the afternoon, I got time. What's the din? Our Mishnah, our Gemara says, Avodasim Kshedah. Even though they are supposed to do that lichat chila, but it's not a prerequisite, it's not ma'akev, and if they didn't bring it, okay, so they bring it later on. That's our gear. So, but notice there's a Dalit, and the Hagoyis Agroa, the Vilna Goyin is Goyris, Avidosim Psula, Asirus Eif is Ma'akeves, Bekuhunas Koyhanim, even the Doyrais. So therefore, if you happen to be a brand new Koyin doing Avoida that day, according to this Girsa, until you bring your Asirus Eifa, you're disqualified. You cannot do the Avoida. It's like a Zohar doing the Avoida. So all the Avoida that he did that day, and the future, until he brings his carbon, will be possible according to that second Girsa. Remana boy Meimar. Remana wanted to say the following. In other words, Morris says, boy Meimar, he wanted to. We'll focus on that momentarily. Boy b'yom sh'neskarev t'chila la'avoida. Boy b'yom nesmana liyos koyin gadol. Maybe shtayim achas l'chinuchay v'achas l'choyvas hayoy. What is this talking about? We're talking about a very unusual, unique situation where you have Mr. Jack Smith, who happens to be a Kohen.
Jack Katz,
oh, thank you. Or Jack Cohen, for that matter, who happens to be a Kohen. Not all Katzes and not all Cohens are Kohanim, as we know. Anyway, he was appointed to be that day. His inauguration is Kohen Hedget. And they considered to be such a tzaddik, erlechid, a fine, a gutta, a wonderful guy, that the same day that they were mamanim to be Kohen Hedget, they also mamanim to be the Kohen Gadol. Can you imagine? But that's what happened. So, boy b'yom sh'neskarev t'chila la'avoida, boy b'yom, on that same day that he was appointed to be Kohen Hedget, he was nesman liyos Kohen Gadol. Now, this is not as remote as it might seem, because as we know, typically when a Kohen Gadol passed away, it went over to his son, because after all the Pasuk says, "V'hakohen ha-Mashiach tachta mibanav yasoi," so that if he has a son who is ro'i to go and fill the shoes of his father, then he takes over for his father. So the Kohen Gadol has a wonderful son, and his son's name is Jack Katz, and he's now doing Avodah the first day, and the Kohen Gadol is so happy, he becomes ecstatic, and unfortunately goes into cardiac arrest, and then he passes away, and then they said, okay, Jack, huh, it's unbelievable, but today not only you're Kohen Hedyip, you now become Kohen Gadol today as well. So Ramana said, well, if that's the case, maybe Shnei, we have to bring two. Achas Chinucha, the fact that he was inaugurated. The Achas Chay V'Siyam, now that he's Kohen Gadol, every Kohen Gadol has to bring every day of the year. They have to go and bring their Kohen, their Minchas Chavita. Now, L'Choyra, that's okay. Why does it say in the Gemara, Rabbi Mana, Boi Meimar, he wanted to go and say. That's a wonderful statement. Zokta Takal Chadatin, because it's a mistake. He doesn't bring two. He brings three Kabbanis Minchas Chavitin that day. Really, three? Yes. One, because he's inaugurated as the Kohen Hedyip. Number two, because he's inaugurated as the Kohen Gadol. And number three, because the Kohen Gadol brings every single day, he brings his Minchas Chavit.
So a Kohen Gadol who's not a Kohen Hedyip on his first day.
Right. And you have the Kohen Gadol, yeah.
Okay, so he brings on the day that he's inaugurated as Kohen Gadol, he brings one or two.
He brings two, according to this
Gemara. According to
Takan Chadatin,
he brings two?
Yeah. Takan quotes the Gemara Masechus Menachos. If you look at the fourth wide line of the Takan Chadatin, Bo'i Meimer, Bo'i B'yam Neskarev.
Neskarev,
Rishon Lavoida. Shloi Oven B'yam of Klal. Or Bo'i B'yam is Olten Smaral Yer's Kohen Gadol. Maybe Shnayim. Echad Lechinucha Shneschanach Lekohen Gadol. Ve'echad Lechoy V'sayom. Shetzer B'chol Yoyim. I am Asher Omer Boy Neymar. Why does it say he wanted to say? Mishum Derotz Loimar Shiya Oyla Chinuch the Kohen Gadol Gam Ken Letchilas Avoida. Because we want to use one carbon to pater both. He was inaugurated as Kohen Gadol and as Kohen Hedyip, one for both. Uvemes Eimer came. Ken Masik the Hedyip Bavi Menachis. Shach the Kohen Gadol. Shalosh she has to bring three altogether.
Actually, if he was appointed Kohen Gadol before he took his Kohen Hedyot, and as he went straight to the top, then maybe he'll even bring two.
Maybe. Have to look up the sugi over there. Anyway, so that's the end of the story with Ramana, and we continue on Vayta Tufine. It says in the Pasuk, Tufine Minchas Pitim. What's the Russian Tufine? Bishas Havo'o, Bishas Havo. So what does that come to tell you, Tufine? Bishas Havo'o Tufine, Ve'en Bishachris Tufine. Which means that although the preparation of the Minchas Chavitin took place early in the day, it should not take place before Shacharis. In other words, don't wake up 3 o'clock in the morning and start preparing the Minchas Chavitin. Wait until Shacharis, till the morning, until Alois Shachar, Netzachama, and then start preparing. Freiti Mara, ay, what Taninan? Didn't we learn the Mishnah? Hamidu, the Mishnah Mesechtes Tamid, Hamidu Oise Chavitin, Lasis Chavitin. There in Mesechtes Tamid is talking about the various piyusim, and somebody was selected to do the Minchas Chavitin, and we were Mamidin. Mamid here doesn't mean we wake him up, but it means that we establish, we go and appoint, select the person who's going to be the Oise Chavitin that day, and he should start doing the Chavitin. And that Pasuk is referring to, or that Mishnah is referring to, early in the morning, even prior to Amud HaShachar, between Alois. And you just said now that the Eim HaShachar is Tufinei, that you can't do it so early. When we said that Oise, we tell him, start making the Chavitim, we don't mean to get into the details of taking the solas and adding it to the water and then going and baking it and frying it and frying and baking it. No, that you got to wait till after Shacharis. But you can start preparing the hot water. In other words, you need hot water for Revucha to make it into this bagel-like type of dough. You have to scald it with the hot water. So he's allowed to put on the kettle, the urn, to get the hot water ready, but that's it. After Alois HaShachar, then he's going to start the further details. Tufine. What does Tufine mean? Rabbi Yasser b'shem Rabbi Chanina, metagna v'yachkach oifo oisa. Tufine means multiple bakings. It's from the Russian afia, but Tufine means multiple. So first you go and fry it, and then you go and bake it. V'rabacha b'shem Rabbi Chanina, no, oifo oisa, you first bake it, v'yachkach metagna, and then you go and fry it. Teofena, Tufine, Teofena, no. Rabbi Oimer, Teofena, no. So now we have a machloikis in the word tufine. What does tufine mean? It certainly means to bake. But since it has such a strange expression tufina, normally the Torah would say teofena, like you have by the shtei alechem. Chometz teofena, shtayim tiena, chometz teofena. Let's listen to tufina. So I learned from that, says the Tanna Kamma, teofena, no. No means when it's already partially cooked, like we have by the Karm Pesach, al teichel mimena no, uvashel mevushel amayim, kim sliyesh. So no doesn't mean raw, no means partially cooked.
When it should be baked when it's partially cooked.
So, if you'll bear one moment, you'll see the Gemara is going to explain exactly what we mean by partially cooked. That's the Tanakhama. The Yoyma, no, Tiafena means no'o, that it should be very, very pretty, very presentable, it should really look great. Now, what's this machlek? It says, Yomar Reb Doisa Oimer, Reb Doisa, the third man, he says, Tiafena Riba. Tiafena means you should do it multiple times, and what that means is, well, let's wait for Reb Doisa, we'll come back to it in a moment. Zok Yomar. Asyan ilin palgavasa kehenen palgavasa, or maybe tefena riba asyan, whatever. Anyway, the first machlokes is the same as the second machlokes. In other words, we had a machlokes zafia before the tigun, is it frying before baking or baking before frying? And then we had a machlokes lagabi no and no'a. Mandiyama tefena no'a, that it's got to be nice and pretty. Kamandiyama oifaviyach kach metagna. First you go and bake it, oh, now it's really beautiful, and then you go and fry it. No, that it's partially cooked. This is what our good friend and brother, Reb Simcha, was talking about a minute ago. Teofena, no, that you go and bake it when it's partially cooked. That means metagna. First, it's tigun, first it's fried. It's not fully baked yet, it's not fully prepared yet, because you still have to have that second process of the baking. So that's what he means, teofena, no. Teofena means you go and bake it when it's already no partially cooked. What means partially cooked? It means metagna, that you fried it previously. So you fry it previously and then you go and bake it. Why is this considered to be no and the other is no'a? Because when you bake something, when you fry something, it typically turns brown. Just like when you fry French fries, they typically turn brown on both sides, on this side, that side. And therefore it's no longer that gleaming white potato that you put in, now it's brown. Same thing is over here. If you're going to go and put the solus and you fry it first, it's going to be brown, and then you're going to go and bake it, and therefore the Gemara considers that not to be as no'a as first baking it, now it's pristine and beautiful, and then you go and fry it subsequently. Okay, so that's machlokes ha-toli b'ha. Now that Reb Doisa that we spoke about that says teofena riba, riba means he held that you do it multiple times, which means you fry and bake it and fry, or you bake it, fry and bake it, that you do multiple, you do both of them, and that's the teofena riba, that it comes multiple. Fine. Zokti moravaita. So we spoke about before what happens if the Kohen Gadol passed away and he left over the second half of his Asirus Eifa, and now they appointed a new Kohen Gadol. So not only Seiftov Shemes, El Afilu Nitma, Vafilu Nitchamimu. Okay, so now I believe this case of Seiftov is going back on our Mishnah. It's going on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about that they did not appoint a new Kohen Gadol yet. And remember we said in our Mishnah, if they didn't appoint a new Kohen Gadol yet, and the first Kohen Gadol passed away, that we have to go and bring now, we continue bringing the Asira Seifa. The question is, who funds it? So we had a machlokes, whether it comes Mishal Tzibur or Mishal Yarshim. So now the Gemara says, the same thing applies not only when the Kohen Gadol passed away, but what happens if he's temporarily not able to bring his own carbon. Why? Because he became Tameh. Presumably he'll go to the mikveh, he'll be Tor tonight, but at the moment he's Tameh. Or if he's Tumas Mes, and a week from now he'll be Tor. Or when happens if he's Nitcham Yimum, because he's a Baal Mum, and that's why he cannot go and bring his carbon. What do you do now? Zokti Yomara, Lo Yisoyf Davish Shemes, the same thing applied, Nitcham Yimum, or Nitcham Yimum, that what, like it says in our Mishnah, that either the Tzibu will bring the continuing Kabbanis, or that the Yarshim. Tani Reb Yudah Bar Pazi de Bar Dalia. The Bar Dalia is the name of a place. Reb Yudah Bar Pazi from Bar Dalia. Bafilu Nidcha Mimum Minayin the Kohen Gadol Shemes Loimina. Stop. Bafilu Nidcha Mimum. So what means Bafilu Nidcha Mimum? So there's a machloek is exactly how to learn this pshat, but most of them for sure learn that it's Dafka that he's Nidcha Mimum, which means that he has a Mum Kavua, then he's deemed to be just like the mace, where it says in the Mishnah we have Machlokes whether the future Asirus or Eifa Chavitin is brought from the Trumas Alishka money, from the Tzibur, or whether it's brought from the Yosh. However, if it's just a temporary Nitma, then we would not place on the Beis HaMikdash the requirement to go and pay for it, because after all, it's only a passing thing. It's today, a week, and then he's going to be Tohar again. So this din is taka mace, but fil nivcha mimu, but only al tzmum, but not al tzame, because that's too transitory. That halacha doesn't apply to take it from the zibra. Now, one of the mandiyamim in our Mishnah said that the yarshim have to go, right? We had a machlokes, see the tzibur yarshim. What's the reason why we say yarshim? Meaning that it says in the pasuk that koyin mashiach tachta mibanav yasoi. So the pasuk shot means that the koyin gadol passes away and now his children take over. But the way the Gemara is learning pshat is that the bon of Yasa Oisa, until the position of Kohen Gadol is filled by a new Kohen Gadol, then the bon of Yasa Oisa, they have to go and supply the Asirus Eifa for the forthcoming future until they get a brand new Kohen Gadol.
So who offers it? If the Kohen Gadol brings his own chavitin every day,
I assume the boys offer it. After all, it's his children, and they bring it.
Since they're paying for it.
Exactly. Okay, just like when the Kohen Gadol was alive, they split it into two parts. Maybe when the Yorshim bring it, they should also split it into two parts. The Gemara tomorrow is going to ask, does that mean that they have to bring, or it's actually Sunday's Gemara, is it going to be two Gansa, or is it going to be only one Gansa? We just said you don't bring a Lechatzoyin, you have to bring Oysa. Fine. So then you only bring it once on that day, once every day, until a new Kohen Gadol. Or do you bring two Shleimim, one in the morning, one in the afternoon? That's going to be tomorrow's Gemara Mitzvah. This is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Oymer, Eina Ba'el Mishol Tzivu. Like we had the Machloikis in our Mishnah, that the Tzivu brings the Shinem, because it says in the Pasuk, Chok Oyulam. Who state in Pasuk Chok Oyulam? State the same Pasuk, Kohen Mashiach Tachmim, Ban of Yasa Oysa, Chok Oyulam, Lashem Kolo Tartar. Chok Oyulam sounds like it's forever. However, the Gemara says Chok Oyulam means that it's a choik on the oilam, that the tzibur has to go and bring it. Misha bris kerusaloi, whoever has that bris, who has the bris? Klai Yisrael has that bris. Therefore, the tzibur has to go and pay for it. Finally, Gemara says, it says in the pasuk, kolil taktar. What does that mean? That kolil lehaktar, you put the whole thing on the mizbeach, not like a regular kar mincha, you only put the kmitza, but like every minchas koyin, since this is a minchas koyin. Kula kol, in fact, that's the next pasuk. Chol minchas koyin, kol tia lo yisiyachol. Totally on the mizbech, total haktara, nothing is eaten. Have a wonderful day and have a beautiful Shabbos, Rabbi Yisai. Zak Yisai. Zak Yisai. Shkoyach to all of you. Thank you all for joining.